Support for Boston Public Radio comes from the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Be revolutionary. UMass is the Commonwealth's flagship public research university and committed to the relentless pursuit of progress. Learn more at umass.edu.
Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan there. We're live from our GBH studio at the Boston Public Library. Nations like Spain and Italy are practitioners of the slow food movement, as we've discussed a lot of times, but leave it to America to be masters of the slow fast food movement. New reporting finds that wait time, I love this story, wait times at franchises like McDonald's are getting longer each year. Joining us to talk about this, how a food snob, I love this story too, extended an olive branch to the Olive Garden. And some stinging news for vegans whose favorite foods, it turns out, are made on the backs of honeybees is food writer Corby Comer. Corby's a senior editor at The Atlantic and a senior lecturer at the Tufts Friedman School of Nutrition and Policy. Hello, Corby Comer.
Hello there.
Hello, Corby Comer. But before we get to that,
yes,
a story by Deborah First, great food writer from The Globe on October 18th. Asking, is Regina Pizzeria, the famed pizzeria in the North End, really the best in the country? It was claimed so, I guess, on TripAdvisor. So what are we to make of this?
So I love any kind of national recognition for places we know and love in Boston. And I know and love Pizzeria Regina.
It's great.
The Atlantic used to have its offices at 77 North Washington around the corner. It was wonderful to be on Thatcher Street and look at the lines, the lines, the lines. But what is really this rating based on in TripAdvisor? It is Food Network. So Deborah, who is so terrific and enterprising, looked and said, gosh, you know, this names a number of places in Boston I've never heard of or been. She is the food writer for the Boston Globe.
Exactly.
And why is that? It's because places can game their entries on TripAdvisor. They can demand that people will put in favorable ratings. This is why Yelp is so unreliable. And, I mean, best restaurant? Her cousin wrote Deborah and said, so these are the best TripAdvisor recommendations. The Q, Barcelona, Venezia, Boston, Sailoft. So there are a number of places I've never heard of on this list. Barcelona, I was just telling people last night, go next door to Pico. Barcelona's a nice New England-based chain that's now gone national. And we lived down the street for a while in Atlanta. But there's Pico, fabulous pizza.
Wait, right, doesn't she go on to say that based upon the TripAdvisor algorithm or whatever it is, the best restaurant in Boston is a sandwich shop down the street?
Sam LaGrasse.
From the Globe or something?
Yeah.
By the way, I'm embarrassed to say I use Trip. When I go to other cities where I don't know anything, well, and often I email you, but if I can't get you, I go on TripAdvisor too.
So which this she's is, basically saying is full of baloney.
It's BS, essentially.
I also like you're using the word email when you only text.
That's true. I don't ever email. I meant text, and I just like. But essentially, so should we just totally. And by the way, she goes on to say she likes Pizzeria Regina too. She's not saying it's not great, but she's saying the process, the system that ended up having TripAdvisor name the best in the country is flawed to say the least.
Exactly. Well, it undermined all my travel planning because that's what you do. You go to TripAdvisor for restaurants, you go to TripAdvisor for hotels, and now I guess I can't trust that.
Of course you can't trust it.
Well, I thought I could.
What is the matter that you ever thought you could? So we food snobs go to Yelp at least.
Why is that better?
Because Yelp started off as being a place where people who thought they knew something about food went.
But that has nothing to do with anything.
No,
Yelp is generally a function of angry customers. I mean, that is what you get, are mostly angry customers who are, if you excuse the expression, pissed off about a particular item.
Absolutely.
So how does that give you any decent So what is reliable?
What is reliable? People
when you
like
repeat the question, that's a problem. Let me tell you right now.
It's us. It's restaurant critics who are paid to eat and get their reimbursed expenses, which is to say a dying breed of whom there is a handful in the United States.
Okay, fine. What's the best pizza in America or in Boston?
In Boston, it is Pico. It is the new place in Allston that Deborah fell in love with and I fell in love with the other week, which is a pop-up. With a name like Robertino's.
What's it again, Amanda?
Rabatini's.
Rabatini's. Oh, my
Thank
God.
You very much, Amanda.
Get there.
One of our colleagues just said
It's places that care about bread first, like Pico and Rabatini's Pizza.
That's near us.
And I like Regina's. I like Santarpio's because they're part of local culture.
Yeah,
don't yell at me. Okay, fine. We're talking to Corby Comer.
Skeptically.
By the way, this is a really good piece. Not so much about...
It is a really good piece.
Well, it's fine about the pizza joint, but it's particularly good if you are stupid enough, as Marjorie and I apparently are, to trust TripAdvisor
but
to give
I have
you restaurant
to tell
advice.
You, the very same day Devra's really terrific piece we're in love with at the Boston Globe appeared, a new food writer for the San Francisco Chronicle is just terrific, Jonathan Kaufman. Wrote a piece about, I never heard of this French bistro in San Francisco. My town, I went and I fell in love with it because TripAdvisor called it the best restaurant in San Francisco. So it was two opposite takes on two opposite ends of the country.
Oy, we're talking to Corby Comer, our food guy.
So if there's not enough things already crossed off the list, if you're a vegan, apparently avocados, you can't do the avocado thing anymore because it it's involves
cruel
honeybees.
To honeybees.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry. I am sympathetic. I mean, we have a lot of vegan callers. We talk about veganism a lot on the show. This is ridiculous. Could you explain to me what their concern is about the exploitation of honeybees?
So let me jump to a spoiler at the end, which is that even PETA says it is ridiculous.
They do?
You're kidding.
Yeah, even PETA says it's ridiculous. So what is the it? The it is migratory honeybees because there has been colony collapse disorder for the past 5 years already in America. I think it's a white fungus that's spread by bats. There have been all kinds of...
And also our plants are apparently killing the bees. If we buy them at the wrong places because of pesticides on the plants.
Oh,
I discovered that. The annuals, you have to ask where you buy your plants. The poor bees come to eat your flowers
while,
and they die.
Do you know how I always figure out where to buy plants and where not? TripAdvisor. That's where
I go.
TripAdvisor. Completely reliable.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're so right, Chip. So, migratory honeybees. Why is this bad for bees? First of all, what is it? It's trucking bees from orchard to orchard, from almond orchard to almond orchard in California, especially from avocado grove to avocado grove in California. It's absolutely essential. But it's not just that. It's almost every vegetable and fruit that we eat. Apples, plums, cherries, watermelon, blueberries, cantaloupe, cucumbers, pumpkin, lettuce, squash, tangerines. So all of it rely on buying these bees. And so certain tycoons in California make sure that they corner the market in bees. And they order their bees in advance and do contracts for these bees. So it's essential to pollinate their crops. Why is it cruel? Because they can't defecate or eat their normal pollen while they're on the road, going from gig to gig.
Oh.
Well, I may change my mind. If you can't defecate or eat, that is...
That's pretty bad, would be uncomfortable.
No?
And honey is made for bees' own pleasure and nourishment. They're given sugar water. It's not, you know, they're kept barely alive when they're locked in these trucks going from gig to gig. But even PETA says... We can't avoid produce from they throw up their hands and they say
Good
migratory beekeeping is so completely diffused, there's no way that you can do that. But what you can do, this was a very clever reply from PETA to the Washington Post, Maura Judkis, who wrote this very good, thoughtful column, although it, you know, makes the whole thing sound idiotic. PETA said, pick positive change. So don't have battery-raised chickens. Don't have animals that you know have been treated cruelly. Do something that will result in positive change. We have washed our hands of migratory beekeeping because it's essential to agriculture in the United States.
Why are you dressed up, by the way?
Because I did a day of the first Jean Mayer Prize at the Tufts Friedman School of Nutrition and Policy yesterday. And it had Tom Harkin.
By the way, you do.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, it had Tom Harkin. It had Tom Vilsack, the Iowa Tom.
Whoa.
Who have taken every good stand on nutrition since the mid-70s for Senator Harkin and the 80s for Vilsack. It was a really inspirational
day. Governor was Vilsack, right?
Governor who became Secretary of Agriculture. culture.
Oh, of course,
under Obama.
That's right. Of course, he did.
And
that's
they
right.
did such smart and brave things about the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, which everything was based around. But also, we talked about what's Trump doing now to try to rob the school lunch of its nutritional quality. What should the military be doing for readiness? It was a great day.
Thanks.
Okay, Corby Cummer, our
Thanks
food
for
guy.
Asking.
No, you look great.
Jim Browdy is down with people that want to ban drive-thrus. I love drive-thrus.
I'm going to explain this in a minute. Why? Don't just accuse me of an irrational
okay.
position.
Okay.
It may be irrational, but
apparently
I'll explain
we get
it.
Ratings every year and the fastest.
I love this.
The fastest drive-through
and the
speed.
Accuracy of the order fulfillment. Yeah. That is another huge
so
issue.
So you describe it before I say why I think it's completely ridiculous.
What
okay?
drive-throughs?
Why? Wait, describe my position that we should get rid of drive-throughs?
No, to describe the article. And
there
why
is an
you're
article.
So
it rates, I think, the top 10 fast food things from McDonald's to Arby's and whatever. It rates the number of seconds. From the time you place your order until you receive your order. That's number one, which I think is of some value. Mm-hmm. And secondly, this is much of much greater value to me, what is the percentage of accuracy? Because if you order a cheeseburger,
Chick-fil-A
you know you're getting chicken
wins.
McNuggets, right? I mean, that's the deal. And so if you're a fast food titan, and sadly I am.
User,
thank you. This is important information. Why would it not be important? Why are you being so cynical about it?
I'm being cynical because I hope that people who look at the 218.95 seconds of KFC compared to Dunkin' Donuts, which did very well at 200.74
Oh, you think the
seconds,
differential is not significant enough?
I think the differential is ridiculous, and I think the whole idea of demanding that people make this so quickly is also ridiculous, and people should abandon fast food. There, I said it.
Okay, well, putting aside where they should abandon fast food, let me tell you what I do endorse, and I hope you do too. We did the story either with it or without you when this happened. Do you know where the first, this is a quiz for you, you should know, you're the food guy, where was the first drive-through and what chain in the United States of America? You have 15 seconds.
So
what state?
I hope to say it's California McDonald's.
You're correct. Not McDonald's.
Burger King.
Nope. What's the most famous? It's mostly a California kind of thing, I think.
In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger. That is exactly correct. I think it was 1948. And I think in concert with the founder of In-N-Out Burger, Baldwin County or Baldwin Park or something in California a year or two ago outlawed the construction of any new drive-through lanes. And you know why? Because of obesity in this country. Their attitude was, I know this may, you may consider this ridiculous.
I do.
Well, because you guys have not been overweight, as I have been for probably 30% of my life, if not more. Thank you. Is if you're going to eat that crap, which sadly I do, at least make you do a little exercise to get it. And if you have to use your feet or whatever to go get it, it's also a disincentive for a lot of people like me to get it at all. So I'm totally with Baldwin Park. You're not. I can tell by looking your face.
I just don't know it's going to do all that much good. But every little bit helps.
Not.
And
it's
also,
like 10 pages
also I'm
or you don't go at all.
Well, the drive-thrus are wonderful. If the weather's bad, if you have children in the car, you don't want to take all your kids out of the car.
And what happens when you've driven through the thing, mm-hmm. you're already through, you check your bag,
to
and there's
sure.
nothing in there that
well,
has anything to do with what you wanted.
Well, you know what you do, actually, if there's no one behind you and the weight hasn't
You back
been
up?
No, you check it right away when they give you the bags. You check it. That's what I do because they make mistakes so much.
Have you ever been, wait a second, have you ever been to a drive-thru in your life? I just realized, looking at you, you've probably never even been to one.
Here's the drive-thru I've been to. It was a bar in Mississippi.
What?
That would slurpy, enormous, big gulp-sized margaritas. I couldn't believe this was legal.
For the driver?
And okay. For the driver. It's legal in Mississippi. We were visiting a friend in Natchez.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
You can drink. What is the issue is you can't be drunk, but you can drink?
I have no idea what the issue is. I just know that it was legal for us to order this enormous yellow plastic container of a fruity, very alcoholic drink.
Now, you do a little fast food from time to time, do you not, even though
well,
you're a healthier
I
eater than
when,
I am?
I did it when my kids were little.
So you don't do it anymore?
No, I don't do it anymore. Oh. Well, that's not true. I go to fast food coffee. I'll go to get a turbo at Dunkin' Donuts if I'm tired or a Starbucks, not McDonald's
So
anymore.
Does the number of second differential matter to you? I bet you it does.
No, just that they get the right spot. I mean, they get the right stuff is what matters to me. I love drive-thru. I think it's a wonderful concept.
No, it isn't.
Because you remember when you're your kids are little. You want not to have to get everybody out of the car seat and get them back in and lug them in and lug them out.
So but you were such a texter. Why aren't you using apps? Because if you order on an app, you don't have to argue about the inaccuracy.
At McDonald's?
You don't have to torment
they
a
have an app.
Server.
I don't think they have an app at McDonald's. Do they have an app at McDonald's? There's a McDonald's near WGBH.
They have one at Starbucks. I know that.
Our very own Sweet Green across the street has an app.
Yes, they
do.
Now,
there, I do order by app.
I love this next story because a lot of people are food snobs that live in the city, and then, alas, they moved to the suburbs, and oh, my God, what are they going to do? All they got is Olive Garden and Red Lobster and Blaze Pizza. I've never heard of Blade Pizza, but I have heard of Maggiano's Italian. They got one right down here in Park Square. Tell us this great story of this guy that found out he had to go to Olive Garden all the time with his kids to eat.
Do you know this guy, by the way?
So we invited Leah Menes into my class at the school you now can name, who was my editor at Boston Magazine, and she reminded me Kevin Pang was the Cheap Eats, eater guy. So he has this great opening line, since you've already broken the ice on this word, we food critics are master pissers when it comes to marking our territory.
That's great.
Our fuel is ego, the satisfaction of being the first to discover an under-the-radar restaurant. So he talks about everything in the Olive Garden setting off every alarm on his radar about chain, homogenized, horrible food, and then actually tasting it. And getting it really quickly for his dissatisfied children. And the $14.25 plate of calamari arrived within 5 minutes of ordering. Squid tender, batter, light and exceptionally crispy. Marinara sauces are often too acidic. This one wasn't. Verdict, delicious. So it was, they've cooked 50,000 orders. They know how to get this right. It's cheap. I hate liking it, but I love it, and I will rely on it.
You know, I've read a ton as more of your food. And by the way, it's not just TripAdvisor. I've gone to a ton of places you've either texted me back about or written about, that sort of stuff. But when I read this piece, I thought about you. Why don't people like you who are respected food critics, go to chains which are beneath you. And I'm serious because that's where most real people end up eating.
Only because you didn't text me and ask for another link. I actually have sent this link and we can talk about it next week. Our friend and my colleague and friend Tom Sitsam at
the Washington Post
spent a couple of months. In fact, he kindly took us to a review meal in Washington last November when he
What's
was
a review
this.
Meal? What's that mean?
A review meal means he goes incognito.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's very hard to be incognito. Sorry. It was a new southern restaurant with a lot of buzz in Washington. It was just terrible. Mm-hmm. And he apologized afterward. But, food critics can't know in advance. But in any case, he told us about going out to the suburbs of Washington, D.C. because he compared 10 national chains.
Oh.
He went in as a food critic would, and he ordered almost the whole menu at the Olive Garden. What I remember is, and we can happily discuss it, I made my class read it along with a Kevin Pang piece, is that Cracker Barrel was by far his favorite.
Really?
And that was the one place he took home leftovers because it was well prepared. As usual, the portions were twice as big as they should be. Of course, you should always be taking home half of anything you order in one of these restaurants, especially Cheesecake Factory, the most notorious of them. But he went through a checklist as if he were a restaurant
critic. I love
that.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, no, it was a really interesting piece. And
I've never been to Cracker Barrel. What do they even serve at Cracker Barrels?
They serve biscuits. They serve racism. They did. No, they were sued. In southern Florida.
Oh, wow.
And then they improved their ways, sort of like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I'm going to check that out. We are going to discuss that next week. I mean, if you had to pick a chain, by the way, where you like the food, I'll tell you what I'd pick in 1 second. What's the chain where you like the food? You used to spend a lot of time there when your kids
you
were young.
You have a deer in
so
the headlights, look, Marjorie.
Oh, well, you know where I used to go, not for my kids, but for me, that I really liked the tuna fish sandwich?
No, I didn't mean
D'Angelo's
that.
Was loaded with mayonnaise. I love the tuna fish
Bertucci's.
At
D'Angelo's.
You know, maybe you'd like
Bertucci's. Oh, I was at Bertucci's all
Let's
the time.
Let's talk rolls. Okay, before you
rolls,
go.
Of course,
because
the best rolls.
We only have a minute left, but before climate change, which we talk about nonstop on the show, bring it at home, as they say. There's a piece we both read that because of the impact of climate change on malted barley, the potential, and this apparently is not alarmist, but real, of the price of beer doubling and in some parts of the world tripling in the not too distant future is real. Is it real?
I think it is real, because think about where beer is made. It's in cold climates. That's where it's always been. Barley is a staple of cold climates where they can't grow wheat. It's too cold. And it's always been, including in the colonies here, you know, it was drunk instead of water because it was safer.
Mm-hmm.
And there was more of it. But barley grows in cold climates. Those cold climates are getting warmer.
Yeah.
And it's going to be harder to produce, and it'll grow in fewer places. So, yes, it sounds completely real.
You know what? A very quick comment on this story, by the way, which I think is really important. We've mentioned before, Gina McCarthy, who was the former head of EPA under Barack Obama, is now head of something called, is it C change? Whatever. The letter C is in it at Harvard. And what her goal, and I shouldn't speak for her, but I will since she's not here, is instead of just talking about the polar bears, which we all care about, is sort of bringing climate change back home so it's real and means something to real people. This is not her piece. This is a perfect example. I mean, in my estimation, to educate skeptics or people who get it but are not, when you talk about something that is an intimate part of people's lives, like beer, frankly, and what it's going to mean, don't you think that has more of an impact than some faraway?
It has to be something nearby. It would be even better if people knew people who grew barley
in Massachusetts and were making
a living from it and thought, my pal is going to be driven out of business.
Corby, it's great to see you. You look excellent today. Not
Thank
that
you.
You don't every other
Thank
day.
Thank you very much.
You
I'm glad that we're okay in the avocados, because every day you find out something else you can't be doing.
Exactly.
I love avocados. Award-winning food writer Corby Cameron joins us every
nice
week.
Nice to see you, Corby.
He's senior editor at The Atlantic and a senior lecturer at Tufts Friedman School of Nutrition and Policy. Corby, thank you very much. Up next, time for our Friday news quiz with the brains behind the old school game show. This is 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio, broadcasting live from the Boston Public Library.